Yes. The meme of the week.
Retard maxing. What is your perspective on this, Paul?
I love the term. Okay. So for anyone that doesn't know what retard maxing is, it's basically this guy or this guy on YouTube. He does like 30-minute videos and just talking about life, work, or not working, anything. Basically, his entire philosophy is, you know, you could live life however you want. You can get a job, don't get a job, work
hard,
don't
work hard. It's just basic stuff.
It's basic stuff. Why it's kind of funny or important is Mark Andreessen.
Yeah, he's a fan.
He's a fan, basically.
He's a fan. And he's a fan.
It's so against the tech bro philosophy of you got to work 16-hour days, pump iron.
Yeah. So I mean, like, I don't know why Andreessen decided this was interesting, but like, I do think at a higher, like, cultural level, signals a big shift. So we went from like hustle culture, Gary V. Like, I unapologetically subscribe to this. I've always been this kind of person, just like,
yes,
worked super hard, like worked 24, 36, 48 hour shifts, ride my bike 300 miles. I remain that person. Just there's this intensity inside of me that needs to just come out, and it just comes out, right? And it's just very natural, actually, for who I am. And I think that that's been like the archetype of the San Francisco tech bro, right? Just like, I'm locked in. I'm just going to stay in this room and drink a lot of cola and like make my startup and stuff. So this retard maxing is a completely different approach from that.
So, okay. I have a better form thought after our discussion yesterday.
Yeah? All right. Okay.
So
let's hear it.
Mark Andreessen is one of the proponents that says software is no longer a blocker for productivity. He basically says software is now a commodity.
Okay.
Actually, most like productive or what we used to consider productive work, so design, engineering, software, because of AI is now completely commoditized. Right, that's okay. No longer a blocker.
It's been retard maxed.
It's basically what he's saying now, and I think we talked about this before jumping on the show, is you need to be retard maxing to kind of feel out or figure out what you should be working on at a constant moment. I think a lot of people using AI has already realized this. It's no longer about doing the thing, it's about figuring out what you should actually be doing. So like,
I'm still not convinced like why that is retard maxing, but
it's basically, okay. You know how when you need to be creative,
like I agree with the premise, but just, I thought the premise of retard maxing was like, hey, I'm just going to like go with the flow. That's something like there's a lot of go with the flow, or is it quiet quitting? Or I think it's more go with the flow personally is what I took away from it, but.
Correct. I don't think it's the quiet quitting. I think it's the going with the flow now. So for example,
I'm terrible at this.
But I don't think so, though, because like, say you need to do something creative, right?
Okay.
The worst thing that you can do is just type lots of words or draw lots of things or design many iterations, right? Like a lot of the time, creative work comes from just you not actually physically doing the thing. It just comes to you as an inspiration. So like what he's saying is like, you know, you need to be retard maxing, smoking a cigar on your porch, talking about life, doing random things. And then suddenly you'll have an inspiration that will actually move you forward. I think that's basically what he's trying to get at. And if that's the case, I completely agree. We all need to just do less.
I mean, look, I think everybody wants it to be a science. Like they want it to be repeatable. And that's what a business would want. That's super clear, right? And so I just don't know if it's a science. So this has always been my take on like advertising. So there's a lot of things that people in marketing do, but I think they're really hard to guarantee that you get a result. You create content or you do a positioning exercise, but like the actual outcome of these things, I think is sometimes nebulous or hard to define. And advertising is one of these things where I think you can like, I would frame it like, there's a strong possibility that you'll get a repeatable outcome. And I like to say that that's why advertising survives, right? Like if we spend $1 million a month on ads, we will get some result. The results will vary, but there's probably some statistical way to look at it and get similar results. Although it's not perfect. It's far from perfect. Like I've seen it like not work, But over the long term, if you spend enough, you'll get a result, right? So it's very much like, I suppose, like the stock market, right? Like there's volatility. Sometimes volatility may be really extreme. But if you spend enough money and you do it long enough, you will get a measurable result that's fairly repeatable in advertising.
I think you nailed the problem. And I think it's solvable problem. It is a data problem, as in it's too expensive to get enough data to make judgment call.
Correct.
On the size.
Like that's where it usually comes down to, is that people can't afford to spend enough. So the companies that do have like billion-dollar budgets, like it's 100% math.
Correct.
100%.
The marketing, let's say the hypothetical marketing engineer, if it becomes a thing, it will try to bring down that cost so that all companies can collect enough data to make a process repeatable for them.
So that's always been the theory, right? But like generally what I've seen is that people can't collect, you need a lot of signals. Like you can't collect enough signals and they're not. And that, because like, okay, so this is interesting. This is where it goes into like, you have to actually understand statistics. And I think most people don't, or they willfully deny like how statistics actually work. You need a true random sample. That, I think, is ultimately why most marketing measurement, I think, is garbage.
So AI is actually really good for this, because everything that AI does is completely, utterly random.
But you need signals from external signals about what you're doing, though. That's a good point. Like artificial data. I mean, there are ways to like mitigate this. I like it. I think it's interesting.
So the entire industry is moving towards, okay, this is kind of ties into what the heck is even a marketing engineer, right? So the whole entire industry is basically going towards what I call like synthetic audiences. It's basically like, what's the difference between a random shopper somewhere versus like you build a hypothetical AI shopper? They're both basically the same thing.
One doesn't like Katy Perry.
It doesn't like Katy Perry.
That's the difference.
But yeah, Katy Perry and Justin Trudeau, whatever. okay. But like basically they're both act randomly, and then you try to influence it, and then you can model out like statistically how, let's say, 10,000 AI agents would buy your stuff.
Yeah, this idea has been around a long time, like prior to like the, let's call it, I called this today with someone else, the third AI boom. I think I've been through three AI booms.
Yep.
I still think this is a valid idea, though, that like there's synthetic data sets that we could use and we could test against it. But so I love all of that. But I think the problem is ultimately, like if you're a small company, like you have $1 million a month marketing budget, it's just not enough. Like even though the synthetic data says something, you need it to have enough signals for it to work in
fair.
A repeatable That's way. So fair. So okay, here's a good example. There were those people who cracked the lottery. Do you remember this? He was like
That's
a
right,
math
yeah.
professor in Tennessee, like a, and he found a lottery where ultimately the odds were such that if you bought enough tickets, you could game it. I'm not an expert on lotteries. I don't play a lot of these things. But like usually there's like, it's like a billion options or something. Like the numbers are so big statistically that you can't buy enough tickets to game it. But he found certain lotteries where like they had a statistical flaw in it.
There's a flaw,
and so
yeah.
They literally bought like thousands of tickets or something. Some enormous number.
Yep.
And because he was able to reach a certain threshold, he started to win on a repeatable basis. And so I like
exactly.
this example, because
exactly.
I think this is advertising. Like if you can find an area where the statistical pool is small enough and this all lines up, it will be repeatable. It's just like that's really hard to do. And there's not
exactly.
a lot of opportunities like
the
that. So you end up in the larger pool where the signals are just okay.
Fair. We're just framing it now.
See, we know how data science actually works. Because, like, you know, when you mentioned, like, space tech, and for a while,
mm-hmm.
I kept thinking that, like, space tech was just this kind of, like, vanity play by billionaires or whatever.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Bernie made his statement about wanting a moratorium
mm-hmm.
on data centers.
Yeah.
And I, of course, laughed at it and yeah. made fun of this on X, just like a lot of other people. And I do not agree that we should have a moratorium on data centers. Let's be mm-hmm. super clear. Very comfortable that being out there is my statement.
Yes.
But like Elon's response was, I saw like later, like mm-hmm. blew me away, where he said, well, I'm just going to build my data center
in space.
Yeah, right.
And like, you don't have any jurisdiction over it. I was like, wow. It was like the first moment where I looked at, you know, the space tech stuff, and I was like, okay, it's like a, that has legs. Like, that's a real reason to go do it, is like the restrictions are very, very different. And let's even say, like, I don't want this to come off as so like rogue. Let's agree that like the US government agrees to the launch. You don't need municipal support to build. You're right. Cause the pushback was, the Bernie thing aside, the pushback has been like municipalities are like, we're mad you're going to take all our water. We're mad our energy prices are going to go up. We don't trust you. Our energy prices are going to go up. And like, I'm a huge advocate of tech, but I think that those are reasonable fears of local people.
Sure.
You're small. Yeah. You're in a Wisconsin rural town. You're a farmer. Like, that's your livelihood, what you know. And like, this big giant corporation that's literally bigger than many nation states is going to come to your town and start doing things. Like, I can see why it's really concerning, and they maybe don't trust it. Right. So this very interesting alternative is like, well, I'll just boost this thing up in outer space where I get 24/7 access to solar power. I don't need to worry about cooling. And then I believe I have the technology with like microwaves ever to like beam the stuff down. I was like really blown away that like, this will be, I think, a reality in my life.
Yeah, no, it's already begun. And I think a lot of the, you know, the rocket infrastructure for that is certainly in place, SpaceX, Firefly and others. And then, you know, the other kind of manufacturing in space. I was just on the phone before this with a company that's doing space debris removal. So, you know, you send stuff up, you got to build stuff. And then when stuff breaks, you got to bring it back down. So I think all those parts and pieces are all, and then you got to communicate, right? So satellite, all the comms related stuff. But all of those parts and pieces are, you know, there are great people working on it right now, and it's functional, and that's, it's in space, you know, removing debris today, for example. So I think that's where it's happening very, very quickly. Not only, I would say, not only in your lifetime, but like probably in the next 3 years, right? So these sort of things are moving with tremendous speed, and it's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, cool. 3 years, launch that data center.
That's a prediction, and I have no data, but it feels like things are moving quickly. So
it's on video. We're gonna hold you to it.
Yeah, there you go.
That's
good. Right. So we'll check in.
And then the twist is that Dave Ramsey is like this conservative middle American talk show host that people who typically call in like are struggling with their finances, and they're not billionaires. So the whole premise is hilarious, right? Like billionaires calling in with like their challenges. And then Dave is just kind of like, come on, like, what are you talking about? This is ridiculous. Just this down to earth, like, you know, country guy. He's like, are you crazy? Like, you invested in WeWork? Like, what are you doing? Right. So I have the whole premise. Yeah.
Yeah. One reason that works well is like, it's combining two popular jokes that were unrelated before this. So like, yeah, Masa Sun gets made fun of all the time. And then the Dave Ramsey meme format has been doing well. You're right.
Right. The Dave, I'm sorry. I was gonna say that Dave Ramsey, I've been doing them for a while. And for some reason, I don't know why, like I just decided that I loved the Dave Ramsey format. And I was just doing him and doing him for like forever. I think it's that photo where he's kind of looking like this and it's very serious. There's just something about that screen capture that I thought was fantastic. And I haven't done that in that often where there's like one theme and I just kept doing it. Right. And I just, that was funny. I'm sorry. What'd you want to say?
I go back to your point about who you make fun of.
Yeah.
It's funny. Cause like Twitter is a pretty mean place, but the person being made fun of is being asked to deserve it. It's funny. Cause I think people are mean to, you know, billionaires and like rich, successful people on there constantly. And that's fair game no matter what. Like people get very personal with making fun of, you know, Jeff Bezos and his divorce or Elon Musk. But yeah, I think like people have accepted that it's fair game. If they're a billionaire, you can say whatever. And then yeah, anyone else, like a normal person, if you make fun of them, they really have to deserve it. So like the Coldplay CEO thing was interesting I guess a lot of people thought that was fine just because he was, you know, rich and successful. So whatever, we can, you know, make fun of him. Or people thought, oh, well, you know, he's obviously just a terrible person, so we can make fun of him. Like, that's an interesting one, because that would not have happened. Like, that would not have been anywhere near as viral of a moment if he was basically just like a normal guy working a job. It seems like it, you know, probably still would have gone viral based on his reaction of ducking Dow. But I think the part of the reason it got so big was like, okay, well, he's actually a CEO of a fairly big tech company. So I don't know. I think, yeah, people are more likely. I mean, that's like one hard thing about becoming kind of famous on Twitter. Not that I am, but a lot of other people just get made fun of constantly. Like say Nick Huber, for example, like how mean people are to him on Twitter is kind of crazy.
Yeah, I guess I have a lot of thoughts. And so originally my point was like, I think Wendy's, that still is the model in a sense that, and that's what I look up to is like, they're sassy. It's cool if you're able to make like a clever joke that's like generally like punching up, like I said, dumbing it up, not dumbing it down, right? Like which I think actually perfectly describes what I think is the ideal Twitter strategy. Like you want to dumb it up. Like, and if you can make like a clever joke, and Wendy's was excellent at that. And Wendy's was like the smallest one relative to the size of the other fast food chains. And that was one of the reasons that they originally went down this path was like, we've got to be different and be interesting. And you have to like really toe the line between like being interesting and clever and fun and not being just too, you know, just like, I for me, if they're just not clever, then they just seem mean-spirited, I think is actually the most basic way to put it. Then you're just like, why even post that, right? The astronomer CEO thing, for me, what was like fascinating about that is the reaction. So I believe like, if they had just been like, hey, like it wouldn't have gotten any attention. But the fact that like they reacted the way that they did is what I think kicked all of that off. And I don't even know if like, you know, I had never even heard of that company. So I think that that's the main thing is that it just was such a like crazy reaction. Oh, and then what Chris Martin from Coldplay called out on stage. Yeah. So like they kind of got hot. So I kind of think for the most part, whoever that was going to happen. Cause he goes like, whoa, were those people cheating or something like that? Like, because like, it was just so obvious. It is an interesting like cultural moment though, the way that these things happen. Like I think they're just endlessly fascinating.
Yeah, no, totally. I think it's interesting because I think like with Wendy's, they're able to, I think you put it pretty well. Like they are able to be funny and edgy without being too mean. Like they're a little bit mean, but it's usually funny as well. Like some people are just mean on there and it really doesn't go very far. I know a lot of people will build an audience by basically making an enemy, maybe not even a specific person, but like, you know, they'll talk about how their competitors are terrible for whatever reason. And that can work, but like it also can get old and it can just be. I think also one thing is some of the bigger influencers will constantly make enemies and then it turns off other people from working with them. Cause like, okay, well, I don't want to get involved with this person. Cause like if I slight them, will they come after me next and make me a big enemy?
Animosity and conflict. I definitely like not, I don't find that to be something I want to be a part of. And there's certain people where like, it just seems to become their whole thing.
Yes.
Yeah. Having like fights and just getting in conflicts and stuff with people.
Exactly. And I think, yeah, some people like, I've had to resist the urge to like insert myself in those because there was even one guy yesterday who was going viral for being, you know, people were calling him out for something. And I had a couple phone calls with him. So I was like, oh, like, should I weigh in? But I'm like, I don't really have actually anything to say. Basically some guy who was like accused of ripping off a bunch of designers. You probably saw it, but he. It was funny because like listening, like reading him, like, oh, I know him, but I don't know.
That's really interesting. Yeah, and I believe that like they might be going away right now. Like that might be happening today.
So the actual real question here that I'm constantly thinking about is if we replace these low paying jobs where a lot of let's say young people are getting starts at, like a research intern, etc., like a junior developer, how would they get into the more senior places or jobs without that past experience, right? Like the joke in the industry is, I'm looking for somebody that's like right out of school with 5-year experience, right? That's basically what the entire job industry is looking like. And AI is facilitating more and more of that types of thinking. I think like education, whatever that is, either in like school or like in a workplace, needs to really figure that out. Or in 5 to 10 years, we're going to have entire generation of young people with nothing to do because they're either overqualified to do the things that's automated and underqualified to do the senior more strategic jobs?
Yeah, dude, it's a really good question. It's come up a lot. I think like, I feel like one answer is like, at least my experience with, say, like the .com was that at the time, people asked a different question, which was like, hey, we need young people to do this stuff because it's new and no one knows how to do it and no one has experience with it. So it's almost like people just had a different perspective about it. Like now we're looking at this going like, where are all these young people going to get trained? How are they going to know anything? I don't know why, but people looked at it differently, which was like, we want young people. I'm of course being the optimistic person that I am. We want young people to figure out this internet stuff. You hire young people to do this internet stuff. Like they're going to figure it out. Right. So I guess like maybe my answer would be to spin it that way. Is like, we had like Alex on, right? Young people are like figuring out how to do Claude bots and do cool stuff. And like, that's what the future is going to be.
Do you think, I know we have to end here, but do you think the reason why that happened was the older people never thought internet was going to replace their jobs?
Yeah, I don't, that's a great question.
Right, like,
some industries were very aware of the fact that they were being disrupted.
This is specifically in the internet.
Yeah, even back then, right? Like the music industry totally knew. They tried to create all these things. They had Napster come out, right? So they it was super obvious to them. Mm-hmm. Magazines knew pretty early on. Right. I think newspapers actually probably stuck their heads in the sand, but I think magazines, they totally understood that the internet was going to be a delivery vehicle. And now you have Instagram, which is basically magazine content, in my opinion. And that was obvious to them. Condé Nast, they invested billions trying to do everything on the planet.
Right.
I think it turns out that it's very hard to, it seems like it's nearly impossible to pivot.
Yeah.
The Innovator's Dilemma, it's a very famous book. If you haven't read it, check it out. But basically it explains this very problem that big established industries can't seem to disrupt themselves.
That's right.